It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
No, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the 8-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guy.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny on Getting Skinny.
Doctor.
Lee, good morning. We are here, Atlanta, Georgia again.
Again.
I'm going to say
can't
the
get
date.
Rid of us.
You don't like when I say the date.
No.
September 2nd.
Don't
the
say the year.
At least
don't say the year.
I'm not going to say the year.
Perfect.
Beautiful day here in Atlanta, Georgia. You can feel the weather starting to change a little bit.
I know.
Right?
10 degrees
to get a little,
less.
A little bit. The oppressive heat is starting to go away.
I miss it already.
And it's getting. Oh, don't you? You don't miss it. I know you. In October, you're going to be like, oh, God. I can't take it anymore. I got to go to Miami. It's
I
so
like
hot.
The heat.
It's so cold here.
Exactly.
Yeah,
what's
so,
your point?
No, I'm just saying. You're very sensitive.
I like
very
the heat.
Very tender.
I like the heat.
Ever since you lost all that weight, you're very climate. You're very when it comes to the temperature. You
can't use the words.
I can't
having
find
trouble
the word.
Finding
I
the
can't
words.
Find the word. But it's you're very sensitive to temperature. I know that. So Lee, I was in New York City this past weekend.
That's right, because that's what you do, Doctor.
I travel.
Every week you're in another city.
I travel a lot. And you know what's so funny is, actually, I was in New York City for a brief period of time. I was actually staying with my
long
buddy.
Long
enough to find a deli is correct. But, you know, our buddies Valerie Orsoni from Le Boot Camp and Marta Montenegro, who, remember we spoke to, the editor for Sobe Fit Magazine?
Yes.
We spoke to, I think, a couple of weeks ago where she said she never goes away. She actually went away this weekend. She was actually in New York City with Rafa Nadal.
For the U.S. Open?
Hanging out for the U.S. Open. So she's up there at the U.S. Open. She was all excited about it. But I couldn't break away. I had plans. I had to go. You know, I didn't even tell my parents, my family, I was coming up there. Just, you know, went down to the Jersey Shore and had a great time. Had a
you,
wonderful
you didn't
time.
Make any U.S. Open event?
I saw the U.S. Open. I flew over it, and I was going to try to stop by on Sunday to see the qualifying because I think the qualifying is actually the best part of the tournament. The last round of the qualifying
right.
is just a wonderful, wonderful event, and I didn't get a chance to do that. I was stuck, you know, on a bus going from the Port Authority to LaGuardia, which is never fun. But I was down by the Jersey Shore. I got to tell you, Lee, the water was so awesome. And it's so
you
much fun.
You actually went in the water?
Oh, yeah. I was in the water pretty much all day.
You have to wear those shark suits to protect you from all the medical waste?
No.
No?
No, but I will tell you, you know, right now there's a lot of fear with this Hurricane Earl coming around with going to North Carolina and up the East Coast. And, you know, you've got to be real careful of these riptides. I don't know. Have you ever been caught in a riptide? I know you grew up in Miami Beach. Did you have
yes.
riptides growing up
yes.
there? Did you ever get caught in one?
Yes.
You did?
I know what to do.
No, but did you do it? Because you know
yes.
how like you take these CPR classes and you go, oh, if you have CPR, check the airway, you know, check to see if the person's breathing.
Right.
You have all these things, but when the real deal hits,
all that's out the window.
Right, you're panicking. You're yeah. you're afraid for your life. You know, so you were in one. Were you able to
well,
do what you're supposed to do, which is swim parallel to the shoreline?
Parallel to the shore until you're done with it.
Until you're done
which
with
is
it.
Really
which is
a matter,
short amount of short
right,
period.
It's just a matter of feet. It's
right,
not
it's not
like
that,
a mile.
Right. It's not that far, but you get freaked out.
Right.
So were you able to do that?
Yeah.
And it was fine?
It was not a big deal.
How old were you when you did this?
I was a teenager.
And was this before drugs or after drugs?
I think it might be during. Could have been in the midst.
And
in
you
fact,
still had that, all the wherewithal to handle this.
And that's probably the reason I was in this. I think they may all be, it all may be
don't
connected.
Go in. Don't go in. And you're
why?
Like, why?
It's right there. I see it.
There's nothing. It's the ocean. Yeah. So, but apparently there's been some really severe riptides the last week or so, especially down in Florida. And I heard this morning before I was leaving, there was also one that was up in, there was a bad riptide up in Maine. So, if again, any of your listeners out there, if you are by the beach, especially for the Labor Day weekend coming up, right? Big Labor Day weekend?
Yes, parallel to the shore.
Parallel to the shore.
That's the trick.
Don't freak out. It's not that big a deal. And
parallel to the shore.
Parallel to the shore.
All of a sudden, you'll be like, "Oh,
that's right.
It's over."
You're right. Don't feel like you're getting pulled out. But I was down by the Jersey Shore. I felt that undertow sucking me out.
Yeah.
And I like that power. I think it's great.
The ocean's very powerful.
The ocean's very powerful.
It's relentless.
And I will tell you though, it's also you got to make sure that you tie your bathing suit. That's something everybody needs to know.
Good lesson.
You will. Those things come down like butter when those waves hit. So yeah, I hit. Oh, so this is what happened. I was swimming, and I had my favorite pair of sunglasses on. I just went running. I ran from the run onto the beach, and in New Jersey, you actually have to pay to go onto the beach, which is a crazy thing. Yeah,
There's a toll. Of course, in Jersey, they have a toll.
You have to pay to go on the beach, right?
Do they have a little arm that goes up and down? Or do they let people one at a time in with their little?
I had easy pass. I had an easy pass. I went right on. So, my buddy gave me his pass, so I used it, and so I went from my run onto the beach, and I had my favorite sunglasses that I wear when I run.
Yes.
So I forgot I had them on, but I'm like, okay, I have them on, and once I'm in the water, I'm like, don't lose these.
So
wouldn't you know? I start body surfing right out of the gate because once those waves come, you're like, you feel like you're at the amusement park.
You're a kid again.
So all of a sudden, boom! I take a wave, and I'm like, sunglasses. I can't see anything. So I was so pissed. I'm like, I'm not leaving this beach until I find them. And
you
found
them?
Yes.
Wow.
I found a couple of crabs, but I also found my glasses too. So it was a lot of fun. And this was really interesting. While on my way over here, you know how some things just occur? We're on our way to the show, I'm passing by the Greenway, up in Alpharetta where I live, here in Atlanta, Georgia. I see a woman on a bike with a dog. She's on a bike in a backpack.
On her back.
Wow. And the dog's got sunglasses.
Well, they have to protect their eyes.
This is, to me, the most insane thing in the world. The dog's
Which part
not even,
is insane? The dog in the backpack?
Yes.
Or the dog with
yes.
the sunglasses?
No, the dog in the backpack is insane. That's the insane part. The glasses, that's an extra caveat for just insanity. But you're on a bike. And you can't get away from your dog. The dog has to be with
very
you.
Very attached.
The dog can't,
people are very attached to their animals.
The dog can't even move. The dog's not even walking with you. It's not even exercise for the dog. And the dog, I can't imagine this dog being comfortable. It's in a backpack.
Right. So you think that she should hold him by the scruff of their neck like the dog's parents hold him?
No. What I think should happen is the dog should really pull the person in a cart.
Run next to them?
The dog should actually control the person. This is the most insane thing. When I saw this, I could not believe. So this is for
maybe they just drive somewhere with the dog, and then they walk them when they get to their destination.
I don't know. But get the dog another dog and leave it in the house.
Yeah.
When you're going for a bike ride, just go for your bike ride. You don't need to dress the dog up with a baseball cap and a glasses.
Maybe they're dog nappers.
I don't know. I don't think so. But I just thought that was insane. Have you ever seen anything like
that? No. I don't live in Alpharetta.
Well, when I was in New Jersey, what I also did see as well, I saw people on their bikes, they put the dog in the basket.
Yeah.
But they were, they were traveling,
right.
to another destination.
In a basket.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Basket. Backpack.
Not okay.
Not okay. Could squish the dog when you're on right. there. So
okay, are we done with these stories?
No. Yes, October. When, Lee, check on the internet. When are we going to? We're going to be at the Healthy Living Expo in
the 30th,
Chattanooga,
September.
September 30th. We're going to be
or
there.
Or the 1st of October. And we're talking.
What's that?
Or you're talking?
No, we're not talking at this one. We're talking and we're just going to be there. We're going to have a booth there.
Yeah.
We are going to be.
We'll have our book.
We'll have our book there. 35 things to know to raise active kids. We're going to be giving out probably pop chips.
We'll be giving out some of them. Don't jump the gun there,
and
champ.
We'll be giving out. No, I know we're giving out those cherries, those dried cherries.
That we're giving out.
We're giving away stuff, and people can come meet us and say hello. And they should
and
go
advice.
To, just check. Is it? What's the website? Is it healthylivingexpo.com?
What
you can't
work.
Control the computer
Look,
like that.
You want me
what
to
are
talk?
You doing over there?
Oh my God.
I don't know what's going on over there. So I think it's healthylivingexpo.com. But they're really nice folks. That, we're gonna be down there, and we're also gonna be in Nashville, I believe, in January with the same folks. There's another expo, and we're gonna be speaking at that one. So come check us out. It's a hop, skip, and a jump from Atlanta, Georgia.
It's not Healthy Living Expo.
What's it called?
I don't know, but that's not it.
Well, go to our Facebook. Go to our. How about if you went to our website?
It's
Since
on
it's
our
on our website.
Well, I did not know that, Doctor.
I think once in a while you should check our website, Lee. I think it helps us when
really?
You check the website
I'm very
to see
busy.
What's happening.
Oh, there you go. It's very nice. It's the Healthy Living Expo.
Ah, the Healthy Living Expo. .com?
October 1st and 2nd.
See that? And you're going to make it a weekend up there, aren't you?
Yes, because it's my
there?
Kid's birthday.
Well, the 3rd is your kid's birthday, right?
Right, so this is the weekend before.
So you're going to be up there with the kid. And then you got your kid's bar mitzvah coming up too, right?
Yes.
At the is end that of his October. Present? Is that what you're giving him
I'm
his present?
I'm giving him a trip to Chattanooga. That's his present.
He's so generous. That, he must be so happy about that.
He's very excited.
Man, that's great. Are you going to go catch one of those baseball games too when you go up to Chattanooga?
I don't know.
Those minor league baseball games?
I like Chattanooga.
I know.
You I have, was just there a few weeks ago.
You have a couple of restaurants that you like to go there.
Yes, a pizza place, Zuby's.
There's a pizza place in Chattanooga.
Yeah, that's you'd
any,
like it too.
That's any good?
Absolutely.
Really good?
Right up your alley.
It's right up
they
my
even
alley.
Even have whole wheat crust.
You're kidding. How long does it take? How does how's the service though?
It's just like Fellini's.
Just like Fellini's. Yep. You're kidding me. They're that efficient?
They read the same
they have the same system.
The same manual.
The same system. No kidding. So anyway, give that website one more time. TheHealthyLivingExpo.com.
We'll go with that.
Okay. Very good. So that's enough.
I had
about
a question.
Me.
Yeah, finally. I have a question that I need your advice. Maybe I should wait till the fitness magazine lady comes on. What,
Pam O'Brien?
Yes.
What do you want to what? What do you want to ask me?
You know, I've been
is it hard? Is it a hard question?
A strength training question.
Okay, go ahead.
So you know my theory about strength training is that you shouldn't
write
anything
do it.
Down.
Your theory about strength training is I shouldn't do anything.
No, you should do it, but you don't have to write it down and be that crazy
right.
about it.
Not check not right. Just do it but don't.
So what I do is every time I go there, I do something a little different. You know, sometimes, like sometimes I'll feel like, you know what, I'll do a little bit of weight, but I'll do it really slow. Or sometimes I'll do a little bit of weight and do lots of reps, like 30 reps.
Right.
I do one set. That's it. That's it. And then move on to the next thing. And then
you should write a book, The Rules.
There's no rules.
The Fat that's Guy's Rules to Weightlifting. Exactly. I think this no is our third book it is going to be that The Fat Guy's
Rules. What do you think of this? Like, what's the pros and cons of this?
I think you're a moron.
No,
that's
but what's
I think.
The pros and
I really
cons?
Think you want
what's
me to even comment about that, which is even funnier that you want me to even comment about
this. I
want
to know the pros and cons about this.
The pros and cons is, you know what? Anything that keeps you in the gym, occupied and having fun, to me, is a good step. So, you know what? If it takes you doing 150 reps, you know, and...
I just try to go until it's like... You know, a little uncomfortable. Yeah,
but you
no,
think,
I stop because I don't want to be too uncomfortable.
But look, what's the purpose? The purpose is you want to just stay healthy.
I
want
to have Marvin Hagler's body.
Right. That's never going to happen.
That's the purpose.
That's not going to happen. Not
I'm on
happen.
My way.
You're on your way. Yes, you and Marvin Hagler are soon going to.
Well,
people look at you.
As he gets older and less in shape, we're going to meet somewhere.
You, Billy Blanks, and Marvin Hagler, people go, who's the fat
who's
guy?
Who? Which is which?
Who's the guy?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. It has to, first of all, how many times a week are you going to the gym?
I'm going to the. I'm doing strength training 2 or 3 times a week.
No, I'm asking not or how many. Is it 2?
Well,
is it 3?
Are you saying the gym or because I do?
No, I know
do
you're
cardio,
walking, but you say
walk,
cardio.
Running.
You're doing
because I do the same
see,
set of strategy.
It's never. You see, that's the
I'm
thing,
doing my own unique.
That's
a
the
thing
beautiful
here.
Thing about you. It's never like. I'm running. It's walk and or running.
Right, exactly.
It's very ambiguous. You know?
I think it's weight and
or lifting.
Right.
I see the weights.
Exactly.
Now, whether I should lift them or not, that's all another story. But I think it's a good concept. I think anything that's keeping you in the gym.
Okay.
Now, I think the other thing, too, is, Lee, are you having people there that you're making fun of? Because I know you like to make fun of people at the gym when you're working out. You like to interrupt people. That I think, also helps with your strength training program. And but I think the main thing is anything that keeps you compliant, that keeps you the gym. And I think what was it? Marta Montenegro was your inspiration to get back in the gym. Wasn't she the one who busted you to say get back in the gym?
No, it's
who got you back into the gym?
Fred Hahn.
Fred Hahn?
Yeah, super slow.
Super slow?
Yeah.
But you don't even like the super slow anymore.
No, I do. I do that too. I mix it all in. So I'm very eclectic. It's a little of this,
like
a little of that.
It's like your musical
little,
taste.
Little high intensity
like
interval
taste.
Training.
Okay.
Mix that in the other day.
Right. And what about the music? You mix that up too?
Absolutely.
Yeah. When was the last time you had some Springsteen on your iPod?
Look, it's in there. There's like two Springsteen songs
in there.
It's
only rap. You go strong
like
with Eminem.
What
else?
What's wrong with that? Don't judge me, doctor.
No, I'm saying you say you
Mr.
like.
Mr. New Jersey music, you know, Bon Jovi, John Eddy, and Bruce Springsteen. That's the only people that you can play over and over again.
I'm just saying you say that you have an eclectic musical taste, but yet you only listen to rap when you're working
rap, classic rock, and that's it. That's eclectic to me.
Okay, very good. Well, let's bring our first guest today. We are excited to have with us
Pam O'Brien. First time. She is the executive editor of Fitness Magazine.
You think she'll come back?
Well, hopefully. Maybe if I don't let you talk that much, maybe if I can let her talk, maybe we'll get her on again. But we're real excited. Pam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, now, the new issue is out, and
yes.
I got to tell you, love the cover. I'm a big fan of the covers of your magazine. On
Are
the cover,
you?
Yeah, absolutely. Chelsea Hightower. Yeah, no. Every time I look at these magazines, they're always beautiful women. And but the thing that comes across is they're fit. This is like
who's on the cover?
Chelsea Hightower from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, we always look for cover models who are fit. That's sort of the overriding priority.
So I'm out.
Somebody. Oh, well. But it's really, I mean, that's what our readers are expecting, and we want to get across the idea that you can look great, healthy, fit, happy. It kind of all goes together.
Now, do you think there'll ever come a time where, you know, because there's kind of been a shift now in the modeling industry where, you know, they're trying to get away from the waif-like thin models to, like, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, you think that chick from Precious is going on your cover?
No. I don't mean the person from Gabrielle Sidibe. No, Sidibe.
I can't say her name.
No, I'm talking more of women that may not be perfect,
right,
but may have some imperfections. And do you think there'll ever come a time where they'll put that on magazine covers where women are, you know, they're not the absolute, you know, perfect body, but it'll be somewhat – like kind of like the fat guy,
right? Like a 6 instead of a 10.
No, I think we are starting to see that already with covers. You know, you see more people who look real, people who aren't a size 0, as a lot of models are. I mean, I think that's what readers want nowadays. They want to see people who look more like them, but yet also look great, because you want something, you know, to aspire
attainable.
To.
You want something that's attainable. Right,
exactly.
Because sometimes when you see somebody and they look so fit, you're like, forget it. I'm never I can't look at that. That's never going to happen for me.
Exactly.
So now, Pam, tell us a little about yourself. Tell us, and in terms of the culture at Fitness Magazine, is it like everybody is like running around with like, you know, got to go to the gym. I got barely enough time to do the magazine. Everybody's like running around doing
exercises.
They're
walking with those dumbbells on.
Right,
the time.
Dumbbells. Yeah, like there's workout stuff all over the place. Is that what it's like?
There is a lot of workout stuff around here. We have this huge room just filled with workout equipment, all kinds of things from stability balls and kettlebells and dumbbells and yoga mats. I mean, pretty much everything that you can imagine.
So is it like a gym? Is it like the Fitness Magazine?
It's not really like a gym. I wish that it were, because we don't have big pieces of equipment, because we don't have the storage space.
Right.
We use a lot of those sort of tools, like bands and balls and all that kind of stuff, for our photo shoots.
Right.
So the stuff that you see in the magazine when you look at our workouts, we keep all of that on hand here and in every different color you can possibly imagine, so that when we do our shoots, we can just go into our closet and pick things out.
Now, what about a kitchen? Is there a big kitchen? Like, is there cooking going on there as well? Are you guys doing the recipes for the...
It's New York City. What kind of space do you think?
I know. Yeah. They can't be that big. It can't be that big.
The space is an issue, obviously, as it is when you're in New York. What we do for our recipes is we work with recipe developers who work very hard to come up with healthy but still super delicious food. And if you look at our recipes, you'll see these things look all fantastic every single meal. Like, you just open the magazine, you're like, wow, I got to try that.
Right.
But they're really working hard to make sure everything fits our calorie guidelines, is filled with healthy nutrients, doesn't have too much fat, has fiber, protein, all those things. So they develop the recipes for us. We try everything to make sure it, A, tastes good and is definitely as healthy as it should be.
Right.
And then we prepare everything. We actually do shoot food. We have a photo studio in our building. So we shoot all the recipes here. We make everything and then shoot.
You shoot and eat, right?
Yeah,
you got to shoot it and then you got to eat it. Now, Pam, is there a lot of pressure on you being the editor for the magazine to, you know, when you show up in the morning, do you have to, you know, let's say you feel like stopping in at McDonald's and getting something.
Dunkin' Donuts.
I mean, you can't bring that stuff into the office. You got to kind of throw that
stuff
away.
Is that a firing offense?
You're right. Is that
somebody
firing
offense?
No,
we're in
trouble. You wouldn't get fired for that. But actually, we really believe in everything in moderation. So we never tell people, don't deprive yourself of things. If you love McDonald's, you should have McDonald's. You just can't eat it all the time.
Right.
You know, you should still enjoy the foods that you really love, but be sensible about it. So we definitely have our days when, Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts might show up, for instance,
right.
Or maybe there's ice cream tasting. I mean, we're also in the position where, because we cover a lot of food, food companies are always sending us stuff, and it's
right.
not necessarily always healthy stuff. So sometimes somebody sends ice cream, and, well, you're not going to let all that ice cream go to waste, so we'll put out a big call and say, hey, there's a ton of ice cream, come down and try it.
Right.
We also have other magazines here.
Oh.
Our sister publications. So we'll tell them, too. So there's a lot of people.
After
eating
you're
stuff.
Finished eating it, then you say whatever's
yeah, right.
left. Then you call
them
over.
For the leftovers, right?
That's great. That's really good. Now, do you guys get the chance to do the activity, some of the workout things, do you get to do as a group together at the magazine? Or is it just kind of
whoever's
writing it does it, and that's it?
Well, our fitness director and our fitness editors definitely test everything, but they are all the time putting together group classes where we'll all go and test like some great new spinning workout or whatever it might be. So yeah, that happens a lot. It can be a little bit of a challenge because, you know, when you're working on a monthly magazine, you have deadlines. We also have a website we're working on, and we're developing apps and all these things. So sometimes it's hard to get everybody's schedule free at the same time. But we do it on a pretty regular basis, and it's really fun.
Is there anything out there we should know about? Any hot class or something going on?
There's a lot going on right now with spinning, all kinds of really crazy new things, like bikes that are sort of unbalanced, so you are really challenging your core, trying to stay upright as you're spinning.
Really?
Or like the whole soul cycle idea, if you've heard of soul cycle.
No, what is tell us about that. Soul cycle?
So they have, yeah, it's called Soul Cycle, and it's a chain in New York that's a big spinning chain. But, you know, with spinning, you're working your lower body, so what about your upper body? So
right.
now what they do is they hang resistance bands from the ceiling. So while you're spinning, you also do a resistance band workout with your arm.
How do you hold on? What are you holding on to?
The bands.
You're doing the mm-hmm. bands? Man, that's
wow,
got to be
cool.
Yeah,
freaky.
That is a good workout, let me tell you.
Have you tried that? Have you actually
yeah.
done it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah.
that Soul, S-O-L-E, or S-O-U-L?
S-O-U-L.
Oh.
Wow.
Is it?
So that's hugely popular right now.
Now, what kind of music do they play with that, Pam? Is it...
It sounds like Cirque du Soleil. You need, like, some...
No. They're doing
music.
Those really kind of, like, funky playlist things where they, you know, all the gyms put together those great remixes
right.
that you can never find yourself.
Exactly.
You go to the gym and you hear it and you're like, wow, that
right.
is so
that
great.
Was perfect. It's like, yeah, forget it.
But it keeps you really pumped up, so you keep going.
Now it seems like they have DJs on staff at these
gyms
because
yeah.
the music's so important.
Yeah, the music is hugely important. Yeah, they employ people whose jobs it is to pick up the music.
Now, one of the things I noticed, Pam, about the magazine is there's a ton of information. Like
yes,
there's like
and it's lots of blurby stuff.
Yeah,
I
blurby
like
stuff. Yeah, it's like it's quick. You're in, you're out. You're not stuck. Like you never
it's
open
not like
it and go. There's a 14-page article.
It's like a white
Rolling
paper,
Stone,
you know,
article.
Right.
It's the ultimate interview. It's like there's little, you know, quick. Is that what the readers want? Is that what they demand?
Yeah, that's really what they're looking for. I mean, they're coming to the magazine for basically service information, workouts, information about diet or their health, and they want to, I mean, they often don't have time to sit and read 14-page stories on things and
right.
look for the nuggets of, oh, here's what I need to do or here's a health tip. They kind of want it right there in front of them
right.
in a way that's really easy to use. So that's how we try to deliver it up for them because we know everybody's super busy and, you know, there's just so much information out there. Sometimes you need somebody to go through it all for you and say, okay, here's what you need to know and here's what you need to do to sort of curate the information for you and cut through the clutter.
Right. You know,
so that's what we do, yeah.
Yeah, because on the show here, we just try to clutter. That's our thing. We do it a little different.
Cluttering's fun.
Now, Pam, with this is actually a great magazine for guys to buy, especially guys that are single. Because
yeah, right.
because now really you know if you now when you're single and you're dating another girl you need to know about how she works out and
yeah.
you have to kind of fit your workout into their workout and there's probably information in here about you know
so you think you get points
it's kind of like dating the date I used to always love those magazines like Madame Claire or some of these other magazines
Marie Claire.
Oh, Marie Claire? Is that what
yeah,
it
Marie
is?
Claire.
You
okay,
were
Marie
combining
Claire.
Mademoiselle.
Mademoiselle. And
yeah, right.
I don't know, but they always have information about, you know, a lot of great little tips that guys don't know about. So maybe,
it's
you
like
know,
insider information.
Yeah, insider information about what to know about when you're dating a girl, you know,
there
in terms
you
of what they work out with.
Now, well, and a lot of the workout tips apply to men and women, honestly. I mean, you could do the workouts in our magazine for sure.
Well, he could.
They're going to, you know.
I could.
It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl.
Did you want to ask Pamela your question, your moronic fitness question? You know, I don't know if you heard before coming on the show.
I know you're the editor, but are you like a fitness guru, Pam?
I wouldn't call myself a fitness guru. I, you know, try to live a very fit and healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, so
but
she's not going
to. All right. So anyway, but anything that's in the new issue that you wanted to tell our listeners about that they find really interesting? Any new tips? Anything about the Chelsea Hightower leg workout? Anything information?
Yeah, the Chelsea Hightower is interesting because, you know, Dancing with the Stars is going to be back on in a couple of weeks. And we just found out that Chelsea's going to be partnered with Michael Bolton this year.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, that's who her partner is going to be. So that should be interesting.
Man.
Right?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty fit guy.
I think he can still move.
Yeah, and I bet he's a good dancer, too.
You know what? He opened up for Bob Seger. I went to see him back in the 80s, and he opened up in the middle of the audience. He just came out in the middle of the audience with the lights on him. He was fantastic. He was really good. This is when he was a rocker, not the contemporary adult music Michael Bolton. So
Right. Old Michael Bolton.
Right. Exactly. The old Michael Bolton. So
it's kind of cool that now we know who her partner will be. And, you know, she shared with us a lot of the behind-the-scenes moments that go on at the show, which is kind of interesting. Like the fact that the dancers, like herself, I mean, they have to decide everything. So they do the choreography for every dance. They pick the costumes. They pick the music. Like everything falls on them. So it's an enormous amount of pressure.
Really? On the dancers?
People don't realize. Yeah, on the dancers.
You're kidding me.
All of that is up to them.
Wow.
Which I had no idea. So I thought that was sort of interesting.
That is really. I would think that they have a whole a cast of people that
They'd have
doing
helpers.
Everything.
Absolutely.
That's an extremely popular show. It's crazy.
Yeah, right. So she said, you know, you feel a lot of pressure doing it. It's great, but every single week it's very anxiety-producing, which I can imagine it would be. But she talks about, too, what a great workout dancing is and how it tones every single part of your body, which obviously it does. And, you know, the fact that so many people are now into dance, I mean, she's really excited about that because she's been a dancer since she was 2 years old.
Right.
So she's really an interesting woman, and she shared with us her workout, her sort of do-anywhere moves because she's on the road a lot when she's not on the show. She's traveling and going to different dance competitions and things. So she spends a lot of her life living in hotels.
Right.
So she needs moves that you can sort of do anywhere. So we give her workout in the book, and it's something you can do at home or if you're traveling or wherever you are.
Yeah, and Dancing with the Stars is such a popular show. And now, do you get a chance to actually sit down with Chelsea at all, or any of the people that get on the cover of the magazine? Do you actually interact with them much?
Yeah, I mean, we do when we, you know, book them for the cover, and then often either our writer and sometimes the editors, too, will go to the photo shoot.
Right.
Where, you know, in Chelsea's case, for instance, she was sort of dancing around the set, which was really cool, and we were leaping in the air and doing all these great things.
Cool.
So you get a chance to meet with them and see what they're really like, and it's fun, too, because you see, like, what do they eat when they're at the photo shoot, and who do they bring with them, and what are they wearing when they show up? Just all those little behind-the-scenes things.
Right.
That are kind of like fun to know.
Yeah, sure.
What does she eat?
She was very sort of particular about what she eats. A lot of them are really. There are a lot of them who don't want to eat too many carbs. You know, they don't want any sweets. Obviously, they're like, give me grilled chicken. I want green tea. They all love green tea and grilled chicken for some reason.
That seems to be a staple across the board.
Yeah. And if they're sandwiches, they might have a sandwich, but they take the bread off. You know, they're very sort of disciplined about what they eat.
Or so they are in front of other people at home.
Well, and if you were being photographed in a bikini and on the cover of a magazine, I would love that.
Pam, if we get the fat guy photographed in a bikini on the cover of your magazine, I'd pay a lot of money to you. I promise
you. Really?
I'm telling you, that would really make my day.
That'd be your dream come
true. Oh, unbelievable. That'd be so fantastic. Well, the new issue is out for Fitness Magazine. We really appreciate, Pam, you coming on the show today. And we look forward to talking to you.
How was it, Pam? You think you'll
come
back?
Yeah, how was it?
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah?
It was really fun. Yeah, I'd love to come back.
Awesome. We'd love to have you back. And is there a website we can tell people to go to? Fitnessmagazine.com?
That's right. Fitnessmagazine.com.
Fitnessmagazine.com. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, and we look forward to seeing you for the next issue.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right,
have a great day.
Care.
Right. Check out Fitness Magazine. That was Pam O'Brien, the editor for Fitness Magazine. Check out the new issue, Fitness Magazine, with the cover, Chelsea Hightower's on the cover. And I can't wait to get the fat guy on the cover of this magazine. That would be so fantastic. Lee, wouldn't that be great if we had you on the cover of that?
I'm looking forward to it.
Man.
Also, on your date.
You got to really, now you got to get into that haggler shape if you want to get on the cover.
If I was on that cover, you know it. That would be my new job.
Exactly. Also, when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. It is available next
now.
Week.
Right now.
No, I think yeah. August. Oh, yeah. It's September.
Yeah.
Oh, it's available now.
Amazon.
And guess what? If you get this book, you will actually... There's also stuff in here from Nikki Miko, who is going to be our next guest on our show, who's contributed to our book here. And
she doesn't know that, though. Did we ghostwrite that for her, or did she really send it in?
No, she really sent it in. She really sent it in, so we're excited to have her. But, yeah, check out our website. And also, when you go to our website, go to our Facebook page, become one of our friends. Make sure you become one of our friends.
Is Nikki one of our friends?
And tell your friends.
And
exactly, we've got to tell Nikki to become one of our Facebook friends, and tell one of your friends.
If we can't get the guests on the show to be our friends, we have some problems.
Yeah, Christine Eisner's in our studio too. She's going to have to become one of our Facebook friends as well. But Nikki Miko, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can I call you the executive editor or the chief editor? I don't.
She was a deputy a while ago.
You can call me whatever you want, but that's.
I'm going to call you author, Nikki Miko.
Author. Okay, that's great.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Is the weather starting to cool off there in Vermont?
It always is.
No. It's like 90 degrees this week.
It's really hot there.
It's very hot. Mm-hmm.
Man. So.
But I don't complain about the heat. I get to complain about one thing, and I complain about the cold.
Oh, that's right. Me and you are like, we complain about the cold. Yeah. Now, are you going swimming in Lake Champlain?
Yeah.
Okay.
It stays warm into September. It takes a while to get warm, but it's pretty warm right now.
All right. Lee,
yeah, it's nice.
We'll have to go up
there.
I don't
know. Nikki seems a little distracted. What's happening
distracted?
Over there, Nikki?
Yeah. No, I'm just chill. I'm very chill today.
You're very chill? How's
it? No, I'm not, actually. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to talk. I was excited to hear that Pam and I worked together at Ladies Home Journal.
You're kidding me.
No.
If we would have known that, we would have connected the two of you on
I know.
The same
wouldn't that
time?
Be fun? We could have said hi.
So anything we should know about her?
Yeah.
Awesome.
You have any dirt
Super
on her?
Talented.
Does she like Dunkin' Donuts in the morning? Is she like a junk food closet eater? Do you know anything
or
like
she
that?
She eats very well. She's very fit.
Well, anyway, the new issue for Eating Well is out. And Nikki, you are here to tell us about it. And I love the 13 biggest nutrition myths.
It was very fun to edit.
That's really cool.
Our contributing editor is just, she's a wonderful reporter. So it was a joy to work with her on the piece. And, you know, this is my favorite kind of story, something that's really servicey and lots of different components. And we had really a lot of fun doing the art for it. So this is one of my favorite stories.
I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of the cover too. You got me.
You are the apple?
Plus, I give you a 10. Lee?
The apple. I like when it's open.
You see that, Nick?
Open?
Yeah.
Like cut open?
Yeah. How about a bite? A bite mark.
They can't do it because it oxidizes so quickly. They can't.
They could do it. Those people are like brain surgeons of photography.
They are. I'm sure that Ken and Mike could pull it off. But Lee, you don't like the
I love
water?
The water. I love the droplets
kind of
water.
What apple is that?
That's
is that
a Macintosh.
It looks like a Mac to me. Doesn't
Macintosh.
Those are my favorite Macintosh.
And you,
are they?
But it wasn't good enough for you.
It still wasn't good enough for
like
you.
I like to aim a little higher.
Well,
I love
what?
It.
Constructive criticism is what keeps us.
It's not. It's being
time.
Jewish. That's what it is. Nothing's good enough for the guy. It has nothing to do with constructive.
I guarantee
criticism.
You, they were debating whether to have it open or regular. Like
no,
that.
Only you
there's
are.
There's always the debate. Maybe we should call you in for focus.
See that? I told you. I think like they think.
You can call me in. Don't call
not
him.
Not you. You'll just kiss their butt. That's what you do.
Anyway, Nikki, well, listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. I want to talk about the 13 biggest nutrition myths. Anything that this sounds like when, you know, this is the common thing where people always, when you ask them this question, they always get it wrong. And you guys went through a bunch of them. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think what we tried to do with this is we tried to cover things that were sort of important and serious and that people are talking about in that vein. So, you know, high fructose corn syrup, gluten-free, things that people, you know, really
eggs.
Need to know about, eggs.
Right.
And then we tried to tackle some of the fun ones, and a lot of the sort of fun ones are the ones that, you know, I hear my friends doing, like, I'm not going to eat after 8 o'clock and I'm going to miraculously lose
right.
weight.
Or, right, the timing.
You know, things like that that just keep coming up again and again and again, and I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense to me. So we tried to do a mix, and, you know, I...
Yeah, the good the carbohydrate ones.
How about you ask us one of these things and ask us if it's true or not?
I think that sounds fun.
And then Dr. Fitness will pretend like he doesn't know, and he'll look at it in the magazine and guess the right answer every time. How about we do that?
Did you read it, or are we going to play the quiz?
No, I did read it. I did not read it.
Okay, we'll play the quiz show then, and then you are going to be the contestant.
I'll be the
Let's watch the fat guy get these wrong.
Yeah,
and then
Dr.
we'll talk
Fitness
about
knows
why.
All the answers
right.
already.
Well, exactly. But he likes to pretend he doesn't, and then he guesses them right, so it makes it seem like he's smarter.
All right, so I'm going to mix it up. I'm not going to start at the beginning. So this is one of my favorites because, you know, this is one that I think people really, truly don't know the answer to. So here you're going to say true or false.
Okay.
You crave certain foods because you're deficient in something that that food provides. So you...
No.
False.
True or false?
False. Well, you're reading it. You have the magazine
in front
of
you.
I'm not reading it.
You're correct. The answer is false. It is indeed a myth. But that's true for humans, but...
I'm deficient
like
animals, in pizza.
Animals do crave nutrients. That they
I'm deficient
eat,
like in pizza.
Wait. So she was saying that animals are deficient in nutrients, and then they crave eating those.
So, like a deer, for example, if a deer is deficient in salt, a deer will crave sodium. But the fact that we might crave, you know, chips or pretzels does not mean that we're deficient in nutrients.
Right.
Quite the opposite. Au contraire. People in America are eating way too much salt, as we well know.
Right, but if you talk to our buddy Dr. Kessler, it seems that there's an addictive issue to it as well.
Right,
And it's the combination of certain foods that
cause
us
sugar
to
and fat. Yep.
Right, salt, fat, and sugar may make us want those foods. You know,
the foods, but that doesn't mean that we need the
right
foods.
That we need them absolutely.
Right.
Yes,
right.
But
so that one was false.
Okay, Lee, you're
I'm
doing
give you
great.
A few more here.
Okay,
mm-hmm. I'm 100%.
There is one, and people love to talk about this because it's kind of so bizarre, but there is one nutrient deficiency that makes people crave things.
Iron.
Cocaine.
Exactly.
Cocaine. Thank you.
Iron.
Once again.
Dr. Fitness answered correctly.
It's not cocaine?
Not cocaine. But when you... What did you say?
I thought for sure it was cocaine.
Is cocaine a food?
In Peru, it is a food.
In 1983 in Miami, for the fat guy it was, I guarantee you.
It was lunch.
I guarantee you.
Oh, boy. So, but if you're deficient in iron, as it turns out, you're not craving red meat, you're not craving beans, you're not craving spinach, you're craving things. It's a condition called pica, and it often affects pregnant women. Whose needs for iron really increase. And they crave things like, you know, ice cubes are really common, but sometimes like weird things like chalk or cement or, it's just bizarre.
Crave cement?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was on True Blood.
You've never had a craving
True
for
Blood?
Cement?
No, never. Asphalt.
But they're very different. So here's another one of my favorites. I was going to say something that's going to lead you to that answer. So here's the statement. Microwaving zaps nutrients.
Well, is that like depending on how long or just...
True or false?
False.
Correct. Very good.
The fact guy, he's a great test taker.
I'm a
that's
contrarian. I assume that if you're trying to trick me, so I think it's yes,
well,
but then
you know
I
what?
Guess no.
I love this game, but you know, I'm going to point out now that they're all myths. So the answer is false for all the answers.
Right, that's all the answers. So, okay.
Ruining the fun.
Running the whole
but fun. A lot of people think that microwaving just has to be bad because it involves technology. And in fact, microwaving your food is on par with steaming in terms of nutrient loss because it's heat that cooks very quickly. So the longer you cook something, the more nutrients you lose.
Right.
So because microwaving cooks so quickly, it actually retains more nutrients than other cooking methods.
The real issue with microwaving is really not necessarily the stuff you want to eat to cook. It's what you cook it on, like the plastic
container. Oh, what you cook it in. Yeah, exactly.
That's really
the
major issue.
Or tin foil. Don't cook it on tin foil.
Or if you stick your head really close to the microwave, like and you stay there for like the 10 minutes to see if it's getting done.
While on the cell phone.
While
that's
on the
bad,
cell phone.
Bad things happen.
I don't... I think you should really put a lot of things, get away from that stuff. So
yeah, I think radiation really freaks people out. But so long as your microwave is working properly, you're not, standing with your head in it, and you're using,
it's hard to close when your head's in it, I find.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, too, you really should only cook your fruits and your vegetables in there. Your pets don't do that. No, that's not fun. Really.
And I'm not speaking, to the quality of, I wouldn't cook, a whole meal in.
Right. And also,
things don't brown in the microwave.
Right.
For
and they don't taste as good when you cook them in the microwave either. It tastes better when you.
I think it's subjective. Depends. My husband and I disagree on that because I'm a big fan of the microwave in terms of eating.
You're kidding
vegetables.
Me. Yes.
Wait a minute. She's a professional.
You mean to tell me that you're going to prefer steamed broccoli in the microwave over if I cooked up a little bit of broccoli with some olive oil and some fresh garlic?
You're not comparing the same thing.
I'm saying in my life, yes, given my preferences on washing dishes, et cetera, et cetera. I will take the broccoli from the microwave, steamed in the microwave.
Yes,
versus steaming it on the stove. I mean, if I'm going to saute it with some olive oil and garlic, certainly that's going to be better. But just steamed versus microwave, yeah. John will pull out the little steamer basket in the pot, and then I kindly ask him to wash it since he used it. I will pull out the glass, bowl with the lid and put a little bit of water in there, and I will steam it in the microwave.
Okay.
Right. All right.
And he does not like that I do that.
And
but.
Nikki's starting a new magazine called Cleaning Well.
I think I'm not qualified in any regard to do that.
Nikki, you're not a big fan of cleaning. Is that something you like to delegate, is the cleaning aspect? You'll
I don't even know that I delegate it. I mean, I think I just
You demand.
It.
You, wow. Oh, you ignore it.
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
Maybe okay. Dr. Fitness can send his butler over to clean.
That would be
you.
Great.
He keeps saying, I have a butler. I don't have a butler. I have to do my own laundry.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
And we digress. Okay, yes. What other myth struck you?
Let's
as
talk about the egg one, because this one always
it's
eggs
false.
Get a bad rap. And yep. People think that if you eat eggs, your cholesterol level is going to go through. You're gonna get a heart attack, and you shouldn't eat them. And eggs are actually very healthy for you.
Right. And I would egg yolks, contain some wonderful nutrients that we can't get in other places. Vitamin D, antioxidants called lutein and zeaxanthin, which help your eyes. And they're a great source. I mean, the egg whites too are a great source of protein, but eggs in general are very healthy. I do think some people who are more genetically susceptible to changes in blood lipid levels need to be more careful than others. But even for people who need to be more careful, a couple of eggs a week. And most studies, it's really weird. Usually it will say, studies are looking at up to 6 eggs a week, or it's about, an egg a day. So I think, if you have a heart condition, you should definitely talk with your doctor about eggs. But, the studies are showing that even, 6 eggs a week for people, they're fine.
Yeah.
So we're not telling people to eat 3 egg omelets every morning, but we're saying, you don't have to send the yolks down the drain or throw them away.
Right, right. You don't have to get rid of the yolks as much as we used to. As most people used to do that.
Yeah.
But the thing I think about eggs, what happens with eggs is they get grouped in with the sausage and the bacon, and they get linked to other.
They
things
hang with the bad crowd.
They have
a really good point.
They have bad friends. So when people think about eggs, they go, "Oh, I got to stay away from eggs." Because no, keep the eggs. Throw in some spinach and get better friends with the eggs.
Well, I think eggs are a great way. To sort of eat to sort of make your vegetables taste good.
Right.
I make huge omelets with eggs, and then it's nice to have fruit salad on the side, or a salad, or whole wheat toast. But you're right. Like sort of use eggs as a palate for healthy ingredients.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I make the eggs with a lot of spinach. The only problem with the spinach, though, is after you cook that spinach, there's so much water in your omelet or your eggs.
Oh, I saute all my vegetables first.
Yeah.
And then I remove them from the pan.
Maybe
I
should do that.
And then I do the eggs, and
she
then
microwaves
I stuff it with
maybe
vegetables.
I should do that.
She microwaves her spinach.
I kind of do everything all at once. I kind of multitask, and maybe you're right. Maybe I should really do it all.
Yeah, I do the same thing for pizza topping. I saute everything before I put it on the pizza, or your pizza gets really watery. Because I like lots of vegetables and everything, but when they cook, you don't want a mess,
Yeah.
Look at that.
Soggy
mess. That's why she's here.
That's right.
Absolutely. That nugget right there.
That's worth its weight in gold.
We'll pay her twice for that. Pay her double for that.
Well, great. There's great stuff in this issue. There's also bunches. There's always great recipes in here. Any new recipes in here that you thought or you've tried recently?
Yeah, I definitely want to point out back in the test kitchen section. It's on page 85. It's these fruit bars three ways.
Yes.
I've tried them all three ways.
What did you think?
They're amazing.
All three ways are amazing?
All three ways are amazing. My favorite were the cranberry orange.
I was going to say that
variety.
Too. I was going to say that one too.
Yeah, they're really, really good. And I would sort of describe them as like a combination. We're talking about them, you know, as packaged.
Now, is it soft or is it crunchy when you make them? These are kind of soft more?
They're not crunchy. Yeah, they're sort of like.
Good. I like it.
They're
soft.
Sort of like a crisp in a bar form.
Uh-huh.
They're not mush. I mean,
are they chewy?
That's a bad way to. The test kitchen would be like, "What the heck are you talking about?" that's a bad way to describe. They're like cookies, but they have all the elements like of an apple crisp or a brown Betty in terms of flavor.
Uh-huh.
They're just so good, and they're not hard to make.
Wow, Lee,
you should try them.
Well, you know, you say they're not hard to make. Maybe we have to come up to the Eating Well kitchen.
I'm telling you,
we've got to come
fall.
Up there.
Come this fall.
Well, Lee, should we come up there this fall?
Yes.
Nikki, do you know what happens every time we come up there? We write a book. You know that?
That's
that
perfect.
Drive takes
you're
us to
you're done with one. You got to write another one.
That's how we wrote the other one, Driving to
See You. We wrote
really?
Book. Absolutely. And, you know,
that's
you're
awesome.
In this book. We're going to send you a copy. I need to get your mailing address so I can send you we're going to autograph it for you, and we really appreciate you contributing to the book. And,
I was so excited to write that little blurb, and I'm sure you had it. I wrote it really long, but I sent it. I wrote about, you know, being really playing outside with my neighbors, and I sent it to my old friends, my neighbors, and they were all so, like...
Touched.
Like,
they were touched.
Yeah, they were really excited.
Well,
I was like, even if it doesn't get published in the book, I just, you know, wanted to share it with you because I have such good memories, and they had the same memories. So
well,
really
we
cool.
It really touched us that you're able to do it for us, so we really appreciate your contribution.
Yeah, and we just cut and pasted it in there, so don't worry the whole thing.
Anyway, well, listen, the new issue is out, and also...
This is the September-October issue.
Yes.
Yep. And Apple on the cover.
And also, great website, eatingwell.com. Great information there as well. And, Nikki, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show and talk
Thanks
about the,
so much.
The new issue. And we look forward to talking to you next for the next issue that comes out.
What's that, November, and, yeah. December?
Yeah. Next time we talk to you, we will be a little more
what's
depressed
in the, what's in the
because
running,
of the weather.
What's in the running for the cover for our November, December? Pumpkin? Going pumpkin?
Don't say that. You can't say that. That's top secret.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be Chelsea Hightower eating a
Chelsea Hightower
eating an avocado.
Dancing, yes, dancing on a pomegranate.
Dancing on a pomegranate. Juggling.
That's exactly.
Juggling.
Gosh, you guys, how did you get that?
Listen, we have inside information, so always a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. Have a great one.
We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That is Nikki Miko with Eating Well Magazine. And check her out. She's also written a bunch of books, or at least one book, a great quick recipes. Really, what was her book, Lee? Quick Recipes in a Hurry. I mean, she's got great stuff. Great book to check out from Eating Well as well. And when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness the Fat Guy at drfitnessthefatguy.com. Go to our Facebook page right now. We're going to wait. We got time.
Yes, got all day.
We
all
can
day.
Wait all day. Click on that thing where it says become one of our friends. We need more friends. And also go check out our new book.
I tell my kid not to beg for friends, and here we are begging for friends.
When do you talk to your kid about begging for friends?
I don't really talk to him that much.
I know. That's why you're
more
making
of a
that up.
Distant parent. You know? He's on his own. I've done my part.
Well, okay. That's great. Two great guests today, Lee, so far. And our third one.
Pressure's on Christine.
Well, we're excited to have Christine Eisner with us. She is the author of Comfort Living, A Back to Basics Guide to a More Balanced Lifestyle. We met her up in New York. Lee, how long ago was it? A while ago.
Yeah, 6 months.
6 months ago, and we met her there, and we found out she was in Atlanta, and she lives here, and we saw her book. We thought her book was great, and we wanted to bring her on the show. So glad that you can make it, Christine.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And first of all, starting off, you're not married to the guy from Disney, Eisner?
We get that all the time. No, yeah. We had a great VIP trip to Disney World about 10 years ago, but... Not.
Did you use the name? Did you go look?
It just we didn't confirm or deny.
There you go. That's good.
It's like the undercover. It's like undercover. It's like it may or may not. I don't want to say anything.
They just assumed we came there with a bunch of credentials, and they said, you know, do you want Michael's car to pick you up? And of course not. You know, we're the kind of relatives that we carry our own load. It was pretty funny.
But some
no relation though.
That's great. I'd love to have that name. I'd love to use that
name. If you married someone whose last name was Springsteen, you'd take her name.
Oh, man, absolutely, in a second. So anyway, Christine, so tell us about the book and what inspired you to come up with this. What was the inspiration behind coming up with The Comfort Living?
Well, you know, I wrote the book. It came out last November, actually. And I just felt that people were aiming. We get really good at aiming at the wrong target. And everybody is focusing on, or has been until maybe recently, on how to do everything perfect, how things should look. And I just felt that that's not what we should be trying for. We're all human, and the Right. point of being human is that we are not perfect. And in fact, you can live better than perfect by just focusing in on what's important to you. So I've spent a lot of time in different parts of the world living and working and watching a lot, and there's no one right way of doing things, and I just felt like it was – I had a message, and I wanted to get it out. But I'd say the moment came when I was at someone's house for a, you know, sort of a mom meeting,
uh-huh.
and she showed me her living room had just been redone gorgeously.
And you couldn't touch it.
It was, there were do not touch signs all over
You're
the place.
You're kidding me.
Subliminal signs. But I mean, everything right. was perfect.
Was it plastic?
There was no plastic on the sofa.
On the sofas.
This was much too for that. But I went over. I didn't know what to touch. So I went over to this wonderful little side table with this collection of doorknobs on it, you know, sort of a vintage doorknobs. And she was commenting on that. And she, before I could even say anything, she pulls out the drawer and she takes out a picture of the tabletop. And I looked at her like, what's this? She said, well, that's in case they get messed up. That way we can put them back the way they're supposed to be.
Ay, ay, ay.
And that was really wow. when I felt like I needed to put together wow. a lot of ideas that I had been coming across over the years. And
yeah.
so that's sort of, that was the catalyst for me starting my business.
Did you say like, you've got to be kidding. Did you say that?
No.
I think that's
no.
what I would have said.
I was without words.
Yeah,
I was just observing. I just thought it was interesting and that really is about, you know, sometimes an interior designer wants to, you know, preserve what they do, but
right.
I'm all about you need to, you know, great interior designers do great things, and I actually worked as an interior designer for a few years. And so they can do great things for people, but people have to let their own lives evolve. We're always changing,
yeah.
and that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I think we all have stories of someone we either, whether it was our own family, or I can remember we had a dining room that with the plastic furniture, you couldn't go in, you couldn't touch anything. And always that type of stuff always didn't make any sense to me. When you have a house, shouldn't your house be lived in? Shouldn't you make it comfortable so you should be able to go there and do stuff?
It's not like art, you know, where you can just admire it from afar.
Right. Well, and you know, they talk about in design, and you know, you talk about focal points. And to me, focal points are like art. They're arm's distance. You look at them, you don't touch them. You know, it might be the painting hanging over the fireplace. In comfort living, I actually talk about campfires, which are like the real campfires that we had, you know, growing up or we've right. enjoyed this past summer. They're centers of energy that draw you in. You can't resist not being drawn to a campfire.
Right.
And I think, and in comfort living, campfires are combinations of objects and people and pets and routines,
right.
and they draw you in. And that's what that's what the book is about. It's basically how you can create campfires.
So how do you do that?
Well,
what's a way to create a campfire?
Let's talk about carrying it. Let's focus in on doing that. Let's start with the kitchen. Like, how do we make that for where the food is, because that's a big energy source, stuff that you take in, but also the environment that you create for to eat around as well.
Yeah, well, and I mean, one thing I think, just to just back up a little bit, I think a lot of times I always ask people where they go when they come home at the end of the day, and a lot of times people will go. I think people go to the sources of light and energy, and they're like the newest things in their homes. So if you think about the easy ones, there's the refrigerator, Mm-hmm. There's right. your computer screen, you know, your right. email, your whatever. There's the television, and those aren't necessarily great centers of energy, but they right. are. They're very they're
right.
that's what
I
they
never
are.
Thought of
you
it like
you
that.
Open the refrigerator, and you've got light, and the freshest things in the house are probably that.
Right.
So you have to sort of create a counterbalance to those. So by putting out, I mean, I talk about, you know, you put a bowl of fruit. You know, you wash, you don't just buy the bag of apples. Actually, there's a little sidebar in the book about this. You know, you could buy a bag of apples and you could take the bag and put it in your refrigerator drawer and go there in about a week and guess what you'd find?
Yeah.
The bag of apples in the refrigerator drawer.
Right.
But if you took the apples, washed them, put them out in a bowl on the counter.
With the droplets of water on
with
them.
With the droplets of water.
Yeah.
It has to be just like the one on
Eating Well.
On
Eating
Well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love that. It makes a difference. Or my husband loves it when he likes strawberries. And so, you know, we will, I used to put the strawberries in like Tupperware containers.
Uh-huh.
But he actually wants them washed and in bowls that you can see through.
So he can see
so
them.
So you can see them. And it becomes see, an invitation. It's like it's a campfire.
This is I get into the biggest argument with my wife over this because when you open up the refrigerator, first of all, you can't see anything. There's so much crap in the refrigerator. I don't know what the hell's in there. So it drives me crazy that you're right. All of the fruits and everything is still in the plastic bag. You can't see them through the plastic bag, nor are they presentable that you actually want to take them and eat them right,
right.
away.
And I find it's amazing how much faster they go.
Right.
You'll take that over the crackers mm-hmm. because they're easy to get to, which is why people go for the fast food, the chips or whatever, because it's easy. But they're already done. They're already there. And so they become an invitation to eat the way you really want to eat and actually – it's a lot better. It's a lot better tasting. I mean, you
now,
guys know. Lee must know because he's so thin.
Well, now the fat guy has it set up where the energy source for him is he's got the computer and the refrigerator
TV.
All together. They're all next to each other. So he has to kind of eat the food and go to the computer right at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So have it set up?
We put the computer room in the kitchen.
You know, I did a consultation for someone and their kitchen was sort of a glaringly bright kitchen. It really wasn't a place that invited them in and you could see that they never used it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually told them, I said, put a little lamp on the counter so it's not the fluorescence overhead or anything like that and just leave it on, you know, or put it on a timer so it turns on in the evening and that way you're drawn into it
right.
instead of being it just you know people don't use their kitchens
right.
often now.
When you walked into the studio today, I said to you that when I look at your book, the first thing I thought of looking at the beach. Is there a beach connection to this as well? Is there some sort of you know, it doesn't say anything about the beach, but I felt it was there's a connection to the beach.
There really is, and actually there's a birdhouse instead of a beach on it, and the birdhouse is because that's how simple life can be. I mean, you need a roof over your head, a place to put your treasures, a place for someone to come sit to join you, and a view to the outside, and it's pretty simple. Living it well is pretty simple.
Right.
But the beach comes to this because we've had a place on North Captiva Island, which is a very, very rustic island. I would say you can't get to there except by boat. And that's really where a lot of my thinking came for this because I just saw how tech-driven our world is and how fast the pace is, and it keeps getting faster and faster. And at the beach, where you're just surrounded so much more by nature and the rhythms of nature, it just all crystallized. I sort of went there one summer with the word balance in my mind, and this was about 9 years ago, and I just sort of let the rhythms of what was there talk to me, and the books that I brought down, everything from the teachings from the Dalai Lama to form follows function to design books to Walden Pond, and it sort
right.
of came from that.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful looking, it's a great looking book, great information, and also we also were talking before the show started about getting back into sitting down with the family for dinner. And things that you can do, and why it's so important to do that. There's a lot of research as to how important it is to make sure that you're in the house and you're eating dinner, as opposed to everyone's off in different directions. You want to talk a little bit about that
as
well?
Yeah, and actually there's a study that the National Center on Addictions and Substance Abuse did last year, and they said that families who sit down to meals three times a week are 50% less likely, the kids are 50% less likely to use tobacco, alcohol, or marijuana, 50% less likely to report getting grades below C's in school. But the most important thing is it gives us a chance to connect each other. And,
yeah.
You know, again, going back to this you know, hamster wheel that we're all on, life gets so crazy. But so that's really important. And the fat guy, I can't call him Lee, I guess.
You can call him
so
Lee.
So then.
Whatever you want.
I don't want to call you the fat guy.
You can call him.
Anyway, but, you know, it's the camp. You can make a campfire for mealtimes that brings you and the people with you. And there are three ways to do that. And
yeah.
They're so easy. It's almost ridiculous.
Tell us some of those ideas of how to do that.
Okay. Well, first is to have a clue. Just have a clue as to what you're going to do for dinner tonight. And that can be as simple as just opening up the refrigerator and seeing a dozen eggs there.
Uh-huh.
So that when your kids ask or when you ask what's for dinner, it's like, okay, eggs, you have the answer. And whatever comes with that, the salad or whatever, will be there. Or if you happen to have ground beef and you open the refrigerator and you see some hamburgers in there. But if you just have a sense of it, you're not coming in at the end of the day just sort of like opening up the refrigerator,
right,
seeing all your containers that you can't see and nothing invites you to eat it. So having a clue is amazingly important. And then the other thing is to preset your table. And I mean, I don't mean crystal and goblets and all of that. I mean, you know, some napkins, a fork and a knife.
Why is that so important? Is that setting the tempo for later on that you know it's going to take place?
Exactly. Well, it's in your, when you walk into the house, again, you know, a lot of people are busy, and whether you're living single, I mean, you could set setting the table for people eating alone can be the same thing, the placemat, the fork and knife and a napkin on a tray.
Mm-hmm.
If it's there, even if you're coming in with takeout food, you know, you can put it in a way that you're going to actually invite yourself, again, this campfire idea, invite yourself to sit down. So if you're coming in and you're just done with, you know, football practice or whatever, and you've got everything going on, you don't need to worry. You don't have one more hurdle, one more obstacle in the way of sitting down for dinner.
Sure.
And then the other thing I talk about, and this is a simple thing, but, you know, mood changes. Light is so important to us. We moved to Atlanta from London, and I was light deprived there.
Yeah.
But what I tell people is to have, you know, a couple of candles, and they can be, you know, just simple, you know, $4.99 votive candles from Pier One,
sure,
on the table with matches right there,
rather than the fluorescent lights,
yeah,
or in addition to it,
right.
And as you're
sitting down, I mean, you know, your 8-year-old daughter that's like the highlight of her day,
right,
to light the candles. But all of a sudden, you sort of change tracks. It's sort of like maybe it's a non-religious way of saying a prayer.
Right.
You know, it's a way to sort of shift gears and say, okay, now it's time for us to connect. And even if it's 10 minutes that you're sitting down,
right,
it's still
better.
I mean, that counts. Those
right.
10 minutes, you do 10 minutes times 365 times a
sure.
year, or even times 100 times a year, because you may not do it every day.
No. Right, and a candle elevates the event. It now makes it seem like it's a special event.
Yeah, and you just said it, the event.
Right.
Instead of it becoming just grabbing
another
some food,
meal.
Standing
right.
at the counter, or, you know, as everybody's wandering around, all of a sudden, you know, you sort of have to respect the candle
right.
and respect the moment.
Now, Christine, you talk a little bit about this campfire a lot today and also in the book. What is this? What is it symbolic? What is a campfire symbolic to you? What's so important about
a
campfire?
Do you have memories as a kid?
Yeah, anything going with a campfire? Because I remember campfires, but I just remember it was hot. I don't remember anything other than, man, those campfires are really hot.
Well, we've been in Atlanta this summer. It's been a hot one. You know, growing up, my dad used to take us to Nova Scotia camping, and I remember the feeling of, you know, he would create this. Almost a luxury setting out of nothing. He was a big Thoreau person. And, you know, we would, you know, cook our meals on the campfire and that kind of thing. But by the end of the night, when the, you know, it was just embers and all of that kind of thing, we didn't want to leave. You know, we didn't want to go back to our tent because that draw was so strong. And I compare – so that's sort of where my camping comes in, I guess. But also I grew up with my mom at 6 o'clock every night. We sat down to dinner, and she, you know, we lit candles. And I remember, you know, I want to light the candle. So it's there too. But then as I started looking at how people live and nature, and I mean, the heads of sunflowers will follow the light of the sun. Moths at night will go right down to the light. So really, for me, I guess I actually started using the term when I was teaching a class for college design students, and suddenly I started talking about campfires, and I was like, well, that's pretty cool. And I think food is one of the biggest campfires we have,
right?
But it really actually came from teaching a college class, but I do think it's something that everybody can relate to, whether it's a fire in a fireplace at your home. You know, all of a sudden, even if it's the living room with the plastic covered furniture,
right,
you're going to be in that room.
Lee, tonight you should probably go to your house and put a campfire in your house. Try that. See how that works. Well, the book is Comfort Living, a back to Basics Guide to a More Balanced Lifestyle. We've been talking with Christine Eisner. She's here with us in the studio. It's been a pleasure having you here, and great information. Is there a website or any information that people can go get the book at?
There is. My website is comfortlivingbychristine.com, and I'm on Twitter also at comfort_living. Yes, comfort_living.
At least there's not a number next to that as well, like Dr. Fitness 6.
Yeah, yes,
for
God,
me.
God forbid. I'm not a numbers person, but it's also available on Amazon. It's available through Barnes & Noble and Borders and Books A Million. And also, I should say, through my website on September 28th, I do an online live streaming program called Comfort Living Club. And
oh, cool.
This coming in September, it's going to be about comfort living in action. I'm going to have some people who have been putting the book to use, and you can also call in and with your own, you know, challenges or victories or whatever. So it'll almost be like a series of little mini consultations.
Awesome.
So that's at 7:30 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. on September 28th.
Very cool. Good stuff. Well, thanks so much again, Christine, for coming on the show. We were talking with Christine Eisner. The book is Comfort Living, A Back to Basics Guide to a More Balanced Lifestyle. I want to thank all of our guests today, Lee, for coming on the show. I have a great story to tell you, too. There's a Weight Watchers thing. Maybe I'll save it for next time. What do you think?
Yeah. Why don't you try to get that person on the show?
Oh, did you hear about this?
No.
Oh, okay. How do you know? Maybe you don't even want to get this person on the show.
If you're going to share the story, why don't we talk to
the
person?
Maybe I'm going to keep it a secret.
All right,
now.
Let's not have him on the show.
Okay.
Whatever you do, do not get him on.
Don't get him on the show. Well, I want to thank all of our guests for coming on the show today. I want to thank Pam O'Brien, the editor for Fitness Magazine. Check them out at the new issue is with Chelsea Hightower on the cover, and their website is fitnessmagazine.com. Also want to thank the lovely Nikki Miko with Eating Well Magazine. Their new issue is out as well, eatingwell.com. And I also want to thank the very lovely Christine Eisner for being here with us in the studio. Check out her book, Comfort Living, A Back to Basics Guide to a More Balanced Lifestyle.
And she's a great person to go to Disney with, she said.
Yeah, great person to go to Disney World with. If you ever needed somebody with the last name Eisner, that's who I'd go with. Is he still with Disney?
No.
He's not with Disney anymore. So where's Michael Eisner now with?
I don't know. He's probably doing some agent-like thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Producing something.
Well, that is it for us today. Join us every week where we make healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time.